Mark tonight, chapter number 5. Everybody that will, go with me. We better get right to the word of the Lord. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. I want to obey God. That's what I felt on my heart for this service tonight. Mark's Gospel, if you have your Bible, will you go with me there? Mark chapter 5. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me take a moment and say it's just an honor and a privilege to get to be here at this great meeting. All my life, I've heard about Broxton and this meeting, and I kind of felt like the Queen of Sheba when I pulled in yesterday. The half had not been told unto me. It's just so much better than I even heard. The tabernacle, I just commend this fellowship. One of the most beautiful campgrounds I've ever seen. The food has been good. The day preaching, wasn't that great preaching this morning from Brother Prickett? I'd like to hear him again right about now, to be honest with you. He preached so good. And everything has just been great. And even Brother Yeoman seems like he's doing better since he moved back down here. You guys have helped him. Amen. So I appreciate what you're doing. He deserves a lot more than that. If he was here in the afternoon service, me and Brother Prickett, we need to dish it out a little more after what he's been putting us through. But we appreciate the meeting. Appreciate all the accommodations. I want the Lord to help us tonight. We need him in a mighty way. So let's get in here, and I trust you help us. Mark chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 5, very familiar. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Mark 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, everybody knows who that was. That was Jesus. That's who I want to preach about. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. I want you to notice that. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. My, can you kind of picture this? This guy was living in the graveyard, kind of a strange place, living in a place that's known for death, in a cemetery. Now listen to the rest of this. Let me read a little more. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Hallelujah. Let me read a couple more. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. Verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. I like that. That's past tense, isn't it? Was, had. How is he right now? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Amen. How many know the Lord can take what's wrong and make it right tonight? Hallelujah. That's all we'll read. Amen. I want to look tonight. Great story here. A great miracle of delivering power. But I want you to notice verse 3 again. Notice where this man was. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Amen. He was living in a graveyard. And I want to just tell you tonight, you young people understand, no doubt, the devil only has one goal for you, and that's to bury your life. How many know that? Amen. He wants to bind you, bury you, burn you. And the devil, you know, before you can bury somebody, you got to get them to the graveyard. The devil already had this guy where he wanted him, had him in the right spot. He already had one foot in the grave, if you will. Amen. But something happened that the devil didn't plan on. Jesus showed up. Amen. Got in a boat, crossed the sea, went through a storm. I'm glad Jesus does rescue us. Amen. The one that's got grace and mercy stepped into that graveyard. I want to preach about that tonight. I want to preach on when grace comes to the graveyard. Amen. When grace comes to the graveyard, what happens? Somebody gets out. Somebody gets new life. Hallelujah. I'd like to see it happen around here tonight, wouldn't you? Would you just raise your hands one more time? Let's pray. Won't you lift your voice? Let's ask God to help us. Oh, God. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. God, send the blessed Holy Ghost. We can't preach without him, God. I pray for your spirit, your power. Move around the altar tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. And amen. When grace comes to the graveyard. I read a great story recently, and it really stirred my heart, touched my heart. It was about a little girl, true story, a little girl by the name of Cecilia Sheehan. Maybe some of you read it or heard about her, Cecilia Sheehan. She was just 4 years old when her name made headlines in America. She lived down in Tempe, Arizona. And one day, it was August 16th, 1987, that little girl got on board with her family at Northwest Airlines Flight 255. It was a happy day. They were going on vacation. You know how that is. They're going to have a good time. But sad to say, that flight only lasted a few minutes. They took off down the runway, and it did a nosedive on the highway in Detroit, Michigan. 156 people died immediately that night. Went out into eternity. 154 were on board that plane, and two young people were driving down the interstate, and they were hit by wreckage and fallen debris. Can I tell you tonight, you don't know when eternity is going to come for you. Amen. You don't know when you're going to have to step out of this world. I'd like to get right and stay right, wouldn't you? How many know eternity is too long to be wrong? You might as well get saved and serve God. Amen. Come on now. And thank God. Amen. Maybe some were saved. But what a tragedy it was that day. And here's what stirred me, though. They got to Brother Yeomans digging through the wreckage and looking for survivors. And they only found one survivor from that wreckage. And you probably guessed it. It was that little girl, Cecilia. Amen. 4 years old. 155 had got on the plane, and one made it out alive. And they got to wondering, they called her the miracle baby, and you know, the sole survivor. And they got to wondering, how did she make it? What made this little girl special more than anybody else? And they searched, they couldn't find the answer. And finally, they interviewed that little girl, and she began to tell her story. And she said, I'll tell you what happened. She said, we were going down. We heard the alert. And she said, everybody was panicking. And she said, all of a sudden, my mother, Paula Sheehan, on that plane, got out of her seat, unbuckled the seatbelt, got on her knees right in front of me, and wrapped her arms around me, and she said, baby, I'm not gonna let you die today. Hallelujah. Oh, what love. I'm not gonna let go today. And they began to research and investigate, and they figured that mother was, or that little girl was telling it right. That mother had formed a human airbag that day. And they crashed. And that little girl made it out. And they released the statement. And they said this, the only reason she made it is somebody got between her and destruction. Amen. Somebody wrapped their arms around her and didn't let her die. And she made it out. Hallelujah. Well, I want to preach to us tonight. How many know that's what Jesus did for us? I'll tell you my testimony. I don't know how it was for you, but I was going down. I was in trouble. I was in the graveyard. But I'm glad he came to where I was. He wrapped around me. Hallelujah. How many believe he's here tonight? I want to tell you, you're in the graveyard. The devil's got plans for you. But I'm glad grace is greater. And God can bring you out. And we can have revival in this hour. How many say amen tonight? Oh, won't you just raise your hands? Let's thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's something better than being buried. God has grace to bring you out in this hour. Hallelujah. I want to look at this text for just a little while tonight. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Amen. I want the Lord to help us. St. Mark chapter 5. Amen. This, I know it's probably silly to say, but this is probably my favorite chapter in all the Bible. Amen. I know that's silly because every chapter is great. Every chapter is inspired of God. But I'll tell you what I like about Mark 5. Amen. It is a picture of God's delivering power. Amen. It's like you're walking through an art gallery. And everywhere you look, Brother Gentry, there's masterpieces. Amen. Pictures of God's glory and God's power. I want to tell you tonight, if you read this chapter and you don't believe God can help you, you better read it again. Amen. How many know God's got power? Power great enough tonight to meet every need in this house. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. You read. Really, I think it's noteworthy. You even go back to the end of Mark 4 and read the ending of that chapter and go through Mark 5. And there we see that Jesus did 4 miracles right in a row. Back to back to back to back. Amen. And I like to say it like this. He stilled 4 storms right in a row. Amen. Hallelujah. You Bible readers remember, we sang it about it a moment ago. At the end of Mark 4, the disciples got in a boat and they were crossing that stormy sea. Amen. A storm arose, a stormy sea. But Jesus showed up. It didn't take long, just 3 words. Peace be still. And Jesus stopped the stormy sea. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. But if that's not enough, we come to this text tonight. And Jesus walks on the shore of Gadara. And we find another storm now, Brother Prickett. Amen. This man, this demoniac, it's not a natural storm. It's a storm that maybe some in this house are facing. Amen. Everything looks good around you. But in that soul of man, I mean, oh, there's a storm of sin that's raging. If we could look inside that demoniac, amen, in his soul, there was trouble and tempest. But I'm glad the same Jesus that talks to the nature looks to the soul of man, and he just said a few words, come out, hallelujah, and Jesus stops the storm of sin tonight, hallelujah, amen. The stormy sea, the stormy soul, I mean, oh, we got a Savior that's greater than all of it, hallelujah, glory to God. But he's just halfway done. Amen. He walks on down the road. You Bible readers know. And he meets a little woman. Amen. Amen. We call her that woman with the issue of blood. She'd been sick a long time. 12 long years. Amen. Been to every doctor. One man said she'd been through the 3 stages of sickness. Ill. Amen. They give you a pill. And then they give you the bill. Amen. And how many know if you weren't sick before, when you see the bill, you'll be sick, won't you? Amen. This lady spent all, nothing left. But she found a Savior. And she touched him. And Jesus stops the storm of sickness tonight. I'd like to lift him up. I wish we'd see how great he is. Hallelujah. But he walks a little farther and he goes into a house. Amen. Jairus' house. There's a storm raging down there. Amen. That house is weeping. It's a storm of sorrow. A little 12-year-old girl is dead. But Jesus says a few words. Amen. And that little 12-year-old had a revival. How many believe this generation right here can have a revival? Jesus stopped the storm of sorrow. You know what I feel like doing when I get to the end of Mark 5? I'd just like to close my Bible and raise my hands and say, look what the Lord has done. Come on now. Look what the Lord has done. He stopped the stormy sea, the storm of sin, the storm of sickness, the storm of sorrow. I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing too big at this youth camp that Jesus can handle. How many believe he's here? He's in the graveyard if you give it to him tonight. How many say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus can handle it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And so every one of these miracles are great. Brother Prickett, every one of them. Somebody a lot better than me could preach about all of them. And I see a lot of great preachers here tonight. But I just want to look at this middle miracle that's on my heart for a little while longer. Hey, amen. This second miracle out of the four that Jesus is doing right in a row here. And that's this demoniac of Gadara. Amen. How many will admit tonight this spirit's still alive in 2011? Come on now. Hey, amen. This spirit, now I know I'm just getting broke in around here. Amen. You come on up Ohio and I'll help you get broke in one of these days. But hey, amen, I know a lot of people don't like this scripture, Brother Yeomans. Hey, amen, I was preaching one night. And a lady came to me. I wasn't preaching this message, but I was preaching out of this text. And this lady came to me and she said, Brother Pasquarella, never preach from that scripture again. Amen. Amen. I hope you don't send her the CD. You see, I didn't listen to her real good. But this lady said, man, I don't like that scripture. I don't think we ought to preach from it. It's spooky. It's eerie. I mean, it glorifies the devil. Amen. You know, I realized tonight, demon possession is real even today. Amen. I realize that. But I want to tell you, if you read this story and all you get out of it is devils and demons and graveyards and tombs and blood, you better read it again. Amen. We ought to read it till we see the glory of a Savior. Hallelujah. Risen Lord. How can He bring you out of the graveyard? Because He's already been there. And He came out alive. With the keys of hell and death. How many know today? Amen. The story's about the power of the Savior in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. I do want to say tonight, I realize that demon possession is real. Amen. Young folks, if you open your soul up to the wrong spirit, the devil will fill you. Amen. Oh, yes, he will. I'll just testify a little bit. Hey, amen. We was having church a few weeks ago. Well, back in the spring, I'd say. And one Wednesday night, I looked back, just a regular Wednesday night, and a young man came in and sat on that side, about near the back. I didn't know him from Adam. I wouldn't embarrass him, call his name. A lot of you would know him. He's a southern boy. Amen. But he come up to our church and we got to singing on the first song. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Would you be free from the burden of sin? You know, you can see some things up on the platform that they don't see. Amen. Back in the back. And I saw that young man. It didn't take a prophet to know what was going on. Amen. Something got a hold of him. He got to twist and amen, covering his ears and writhing, and I knew that spirit had a hold of him, and I just felt the boldness of God. I'm nobody, but you can feel the Holy Ghost, you know. And I said, sir, if you want deliverance, God would deliver you right now. And he come up to the altar. We got to praying. That spirit manifested. He did run out, but thank God some brothers chased him down. Amen. He got a hold of him, and I just make it a long story short. Amen. God delivered him and set him free that night. He come back a couple Sunday nights and God gave him the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in another tongue. I want to tell you, there's a power from hell, but there's a power of God that's greater. You know what we ought to have around here tonight? A chain breaking, a shackle shaking meeting. And somebody ought to come out of the graveyard alive by the power of God. How many believe God can do it right here tonight? Oh, there's grace in the graveyard for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you just a couple things tonight. We're going to make an altar in a little while. But when we look at this text tonight, notice with me the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin. I wish we didn't even have to talk about this part of the story. I wish that we could just talk about glorious things and wonderful things. But how many know sin has binding power? Amen. Oh, I see a generation. Thank God for these young folks, young ladies that look like young ladies ought to, young men that act like young men ought to. Amen. But there's a generation outside these doors that are bound. Amen. Maybe there's some here tonight. Amen. But we got to have the power when we encounter this spirit. Come on now. Amen. Now you look at this man. I mean, just read these verses again. If I can let it sink in tonight. Listen again. Mark 5 and verse 3. What kind of man was this? He had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4. He had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Did you catch that? Did you see those words and phrases? Chains. Fetters, amen, bind. Nobody could tame him. Amen. This guy sounds like a wild man, doesn't he? How many like to have him for a neighbor? Amen. Next to a youth camp. Amen. This guy is a wild man, but it's a picture of what sin will do to you. Amen. I wonder, I wish the Bible told us everything. I don't know. Maybe this boy went to the synagogue. Amen. Maybe he wasn't always a hellion. Maybe he's raised up on a pew. Maybe he'd heard the message. I want to tell you, sin don't care who you are. It'll bind you. It'll burn you. And it'll bury you. I'd like to wake up and sell out to God in this youth camp. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, I want you to look at this man. Come on, Brother Blake. Help me tonight. Amen. I know Brother Blake's a great young man, but he's going to give us a visual of what this guy was kind of like. Come on, Brother Blake, out here where everybody can see you, if you will. Amen. Can you picture this man chained by sin? Hey, man, this is what sin will do to you. Go ahead and raise your hands and worship God. Can't hardly do it. Amen. Hey, man, chained. Can't hardly get him to church. Hey, man, sin is controlled by Satan. Chained by sin. Hey, man, isn't that where a lot of folks are in this hour? Hey, man, I know what the Bible said. Society put a chain on him, and he had such a demonic aggression and a spirit of fierceness, and he broke that chain that society put on him. But there is a deeper chain. Amen. There was another chain that this man could not break. It's the chain of sin. And I want to tell somebody tonight, amen, you'll never break it on your own. Amen. I hear people say right there, brother, anybody ever heard somebody say this? People tell me all the time, when I get rid of this habit, I'm going to come to the holiness church. When I kick that addiction and get a little better, I'm going to come down and get in the choir and get saved. I want to tell you, you'll never break it on your own. We need a power to come to Gadara tonight. I believe he's here. We need a breaker. I may say amen tonight. Hey, man, one guy told me one time, he said, man, I'm going to break this thing. And God reminded me, Brother Dean, of something I'd heard another man say. Trying to break that sinful habit. Hey, man, I don't know everybody down here, so I'll be careful. But there's habits, people looking at things they shouldn't look at. Young men get a habit of lust, and it chains them. Young women get a spirit of the world, and it chains them. Oh, hey, man, and they say, boy, one of these days I'll break out of it. Hey, man, one man said, trying to break your own habit by your own power is about as foolish as trying to dissect that word habit one letter at a time. I mean, you spell it out, H-A-B-I-T. And if you take the H off, you know what you got left? A bit. Amen. Still, you might drop a few cigarettes and smoke a little less, but there's still a bit of a habit. Amen. And you drop the A off and you're doing better, but you're still bit. That old serpent got a hold of you and stuck his fangs in. Amen. And you're bit. You say, I'll take the B off. You got it. You never got delivered. It's still there in you. You take the I off. You got T. It stands for temptation. And when nobody's looking, you go back and do it again. I want to tell you, you'll never break it. We got to have a revival.
revival. Oh, I'd like to preach tonight. We need a move of God, young men. We need a revival, young ladies. I believe the breaker's here. And somebody can get free tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory if you believe it. Hallelujah. Look at this young man tonight. I want to preach just a few more minutes if that's all right. This young man, sin has shamed him. Amen. We get the idea in the Bible he was naked. Because when Jesus delivered him, he was clothed all of a sudden. Sin strips everything that's good. Your reputation, that Brother Prickett preached so wonderfully about today. Sin robs your character, your godly heritage. Amen. Even the clothes off your back. Sin shamed him. Not only that, you notice sin maimed him. The Bible said in verse 5, he was cutting himself. Could you imagine, Brother Gentry, how scarred up this guy was? Disfigured, cutting himself day and night. Amen. I was pastoring years ago. I've only pastored 2 churches. I was in a little country church in Illinois years ago. And God woke me up one Sunday morning real early. I thought I had a message already. And God dealt with me with that verse. And he said, I want you to get up and preach this morning on stop cutting yourself. Stop cutting yourself. And I thought, man, I even said, Lord, that's kind of strange. I had mostly older folks, good saints of God. And I thought, man, I don't think there's anybody at our church had ever cut themselves and do that. I mean, you know, you got to be pretty dreadful in sin and hopeless. But God impressed it on my heart so real. And God said, I'll tell you, maybe there's some that would never do that in the natural, but a spirit's got a hold of them and they're cutting themselves down. Amen. You ever met somebody and you talk to them, and every time you talk to them, they say something like this: nobody loves me. I'm not worth anything. Amen. It wouldn't matter if I died. Nobody cares about me at the church. Nobody would miss me. I want to tell you, that's a lie of the devil. He's getting you to cut yourself. I want to tell you, Christ went to Calvary. He was cut. He bled so we don't have to. Come on out of the graveyard and let God deliver your life tonight. Hallelujah. I got to preaching that little message. I mean, simple Kentucky cornbread. That's where I'm from. Amen. And I got to preaching, and this little, you ask my wife, Sister Rose Randall, little 80-year-old lady, or 78, came hobbling out of her pew on a crutch, and she said, Brother Pascarella, all my life that spirit has had a hold of me. My daddy left me. Nobody loved me. The devil said nobody cares, but that morning she found her worth and her value in Jesus. I want to tell you, there's a better life. There's a new life. There's a revival. But you got to come out of the graveyard and be delivered tonight. Hallelujah. How many's glad grace is in the graveyard tonight? I'm going to cut to the chase. Sin shamed him. Sin maimed him. And sin even named him. Did you notice that? Verse 9, I didn't read that far. But in verse 9, amen, brother, Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And I'll tell you how hell will hold you hostage. Amen, the devil, that boy's name might have been Jacob or Saul or some good Bible name. But the devil spoke up and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Sounds like the devil's getting unity to fight, don't they? That's why the church ought to get together and the youth group ought to get together. Hell is getting together. Amen. We ought to get together and have a meeting around here. Amen. We are many. I don't know if it's true or not. I got to studying this, and a lot of men, a lot smarter than me, commentators, they say that that word legion was a Roman word. The Roman army would use it. And the only time they used it, you had to have a contingent of at least 6,000 soldiers. If you had 1,000 or 5, it's not a legion. You got to have 6 or more. And then they'd say a legion, 6,000. Now, I don't know if the devil's telling the truth. How many know he's a liar? Amen. But maybe if he wanted to brag a little, he might have told the truth. I don't know. But if he was right, there might have been 6,000 devils in that one man. That sounds amazing. I don't know. But I say that to say this. If there's hope for a guy like that, there's hope for anybody. I don't care your home, your background. I'm telling you, the grace of God is greater tonight. Come on out of the graveyard. Come on out of sin. And let's have revival in our soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The bondage of sin. I want to leave you with this, the burden of the Savior. The burden. How many know God has a burden for this generation tonight? What else would make a Savior leave the 99, the multitude, the miracles, the masses, and climb in a boat and go across the sea through a storm, amen, into a graveyard? Amen, I'll tell you what it is, the burden of the Savior. What would make a great God come down out of heaven into a camp meeting at Broxton, Georgia? I'll tell you what it is, the burden of the Savior tonight. How many believe he cares? And I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to come running. When that man saw him, he had enough spark to come running and worship. I'll tell you, it's your night. It's your moment. Come on to Jesus, and he'll set you free tonight. I was down years ago in Dallas, well, Fort Worth, Texas, preaching a little revival. I think it was 2000, 2001. I picked up a newspaper one day, and I'll leave you. We're going to make an altar. I want God to help us. I picked this newspaper up and read an amazing true story. This lady, I can't recall her name. She's on the Dallas freeway coming home from work late at night. Maybe a lot of folks didn't have cell phones back then. I don't know all the story. But she's coming home, and this guy was following her, Brother Yeomans, in a truck. I don't think it was an 18-wheeler, if I remember right. Just a truck that was high up, and you could see in. And this guy was following her, and she got nervous, and she got in this lane, and he got right behind her. He started flashing his bright lights, waving at her, trying to get her pull over. Got up next to her, and she sped up, and she was getting nervous about all this. She'd get in one lane, he'd get in that lane, and she finally got off an exit, and he got off the exit. She went down a street, he went down a street. Finally, she pulled into a convenience store, a gas station, and he pulled in. And she saw something's not right. And she jumped out and ran in to the convenience store. And this guy pulled in, got out. And she's telling the clerk, call the cops, the police. This guy's a wild man chasing me, after me, wants to hurt me. Amen. And they picked up the phone, started dialing. And this guy got out, walked over, and stunned her. He came to her car, opened up the back door, reached in and pulled a man out of the back seat. Amen. By the hair of his head, they said, long-haired guy, got him down and wrestled him to the ground, and come to find out, the Dallas paper said that guy was a criminal. Amen. She didn't know he's back there. That man behind her from his high truck and his vantage point saw that guy, amen, in the back seat. Something didn't look right. He's trying to warn her. Amen. They arrested that man. I just say it like this. He hadn't been good to women. Amen. He'd been a dangerous man, but this guy saved her. Amen. And you know what that lady said? Here's what got me. She said, I was running from the wrong man. Oh my. Amen. I was running, but thank God he cared enough to chase me down. He came where I was. Hallelujah. I want to tell some of you, you've been running from the wrong man. There's a Savior. He chased you to youth camp. Won't you let him catch you and break the chain? How many believe he's a deliverer tonight? Oh, let's stand and praise him all over. Come on, let's give God the glory tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's praise God. Come down to the graveyard. Oh, this generation has one foot in the grave. But I want to tell you, there's a revival waiting tonight at the altar. There's a Savior, and you can find grace in the graveyard if you let God get a hold of your life. Hallelujah. Some are coming right now. Come on, the music, if you will. Sister Prickett, if you help us. I want the Holy Ghost to deal with hearts. Come on. You want to obey God? Amen. I believe somebody's chains can get broken. All it takes is a few words. Come out of him, thou unclean spirit. I want to tell you tonight, young lady, that spirit that's haunted you can be delivered, can be broken. That spirit that's kept you from getting in like you need to, God's here to break every chain, every fetter. Amen. Won't you let grace get a hold of you in this graveyard? Stop running. Come to Jesus and say, I surrender all. Oh, feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Shadabohotai. Come on, young lady. God's pulling on your heart right now. He can deliver you in a moment. Come on, young man, lay it all down. Come, chains and all. Watch my Christ break your chains. Come on, you say, I can't come the way I am. Come on, chains and all. You'll leave here clothed and in your right mind. He'll give you a new heart. He'll put the robe of righteousness all around you. Oh, he'll put the mind of Christ in you. I believe God wants to give this generation revival in the graveyard. When it looks like it's too late, Jesus is right on time. Come on, young man. I feel the pull of the Holy Ghost on your heart. I feel the love of God reaching for your soul one more time. Come on, friend. All you that are saved, let's have revival. Let's get the fullness of the Spirit of God.
For the world that's lost in darkness. For the saint that's gone astray.
Come on, stop running.
For the sinner.
Fall before the Lord.
For the child in need of faith. For the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry, for the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for